morning.
Roll call, please.
Bruce Rinker.
Here.
Debbie Berry.
Here.
Dan Moore.
Here.
Three members are present, which constitutes a quorum.
Please join us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I may have a motion to approve the minutes from January 15th. So it's a tie.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Financial report.
Good morning, commissioners. We are looking at the results through January 31st of 2020. And this is the time of year where we see a lot of timing volatility up and down the cutoff of the prior year with the fact that we're just getting our numbers rolling. So we're going to see a lot of variances, but I'll tell you right from the start that the majority of these are timing related. For instance, the first one, when we look at property taxes, it looks like we're $800,000 behind where we were last year. The February payment will actually put us about $900,000 ahead of where we were last year. It's a $1.7 million swing. So this is just a timing item. We're benefiting from some timing on local government fund and grants as well. This is up about $137,000. And charges for services, there's $69,000 in there from our procurement card rebate plan. And there is some timing from the concessionaires that we have at Acacia and Dino's. They made a couple of nice payments as well that are flowing through there. So all these items are timing related. They catch up throughout the year, both on the up and the down. And this puts us at a net of looking like we're down almost $600,000, but again, that's driven by the tax number that will swing at the end of February. When we look at our costs, we're seeing the same things on the cost side. About 50% of this overage we'll see on the zoo side is the training costs of Wild With Your Lights. And then we're also going to see that revenue is in there as well. So in that charges for services revenue line, when we look at the zoo, there's a corresponding offset that's trailing for the end of that program as well. And then we've got some timing items on there. We're accelerating our marketing spend a little bit. That'll wash out as the year goes on. We see that our electricity is up a bit right now, largely with Wild With Your Lights. We have actually our plant supplies are up about $19,000. It's been warm enough that we can do more outside. So again, timing related. All that contributed to the overage that you see there. And then self-funded, again, this is also timing. We've got about $80,000 in timing of claims. It's just when we get invoiced and when we pay them. So if we look at raw claims data, we're actually ahead of where we were at this point last year. In other words, not as many claims, but it looks like more. We've got a couple of invoices that we paid sooner this year because last year we were in a contract year. By the time those all got resolved and invoiced, we paid them in March. Now we're on our regular plan. We're paying them as they come in. So there's $20,000 for claims handling. There's $24,000 in there for stop loss premium. So there's a number of pieces that are flowing through here that will all wash as we get in through the first quarter of the year. And then what that does is it puts us at a net result of the clicker and the wrong clicking.
Go ahead.
Let's see here. Sean. There we go. Okay, so that puts us at, yes, Sean. That puts us at a net result of where we see here about $1.1 million of less operating surplus than we were at this point last year. Our construction activity is up. Again, we've got some nice projects going on, and the weather is helping, so we're doing more outside. We're continuing with a couple of significant projects. And we see that our land acquisition is nice between the Gertzbo property, Packer property, Skagilda property. Did I say that wrong? Close. again, timing related, all within budget. We knew that these were coming up. And that puts us at a position where we are about $2.3 million, different than where we were at this point last year. We're at a slight net subsidy after all construction and capital expenditures, but timing related 100% of the way through, so we'll be in good shape as we start to progress through the year. There we go. It's a little bit delayed, David. I'm not sure what the... Okay. So when we look at the zoo's performance, this is where you can see when we talk about the activity on the upside. Wild With Your Lights drove a little bit better activity on our general admissions and special event admissions, and it also did the same at souvenirs and refreshments, so you can see those upticks. Now when you look at the Zoo Society payments, we went to quarterly last year, so we got a $600,000 payment in October of 2019. that if we didn't go to that schedule, would have been rolled into this payment and we would have actually been up. But when we look year over year, we trend at $2.5 million or so. We're going to trend that same level this year. That's a timing item that you see when it looks like a shortfall from the Zoo Society. So we're not concerned with that one either. But you can see the net impact of it on total revenue. And then we look at the operations side. This is where we see our additional electricity costs, our additional janitorial supplies, and some of the other things that were trailing costs. Rental equipment related to wildlife reliance offset by those two revenue categories that we saw up on top. And what this does is it puts us in a net operating subsidy position that's slightly off from where it was, about $400,000 off from where it was at this point last year. And a lot of that number is driven by the timing of the Zoo Society payment. For the construction side, we've got the Rhino exhibit in full swing, the expansion on there. So we have good activity. The weather's gone well with us so far. So we're about $100,000 ahead of spend when we were at this point last year. And we can see that that also impacts our net subsidy. And on the restricted side, we also have restricted funds that are helping us fund and pay for this construction work. So it's been busy over at the Zoo. When we look at golf, up in the food service line is where you see our concessionaire revenue from Manakiki. That was about $15,000 of that $18,000 number. So we're about $20,000 ahead. So between the weather and that concessions payment, it's been a good start for golf. And then when we look at the operations side, our ground management supplies and our food and beverages for resale are both up from a timing perspective only. So that will, again, start to wash as the year goes on. But right now, it makes it look as though we're about $19,000 more in operational spend than we were at this point last year. And that comes down to a net when we look at the fact that we don't have any real significant capital expenditures going on right now. We're actually almost $17,000 ahead from a net subsidy position from where we were in January of 19. And then just jumping over at the chorus activity, there's not a whole lot to highlight here given the time of the year. We'll keep a close eye on this as we start to progress into the spring and get some real activity going on the courses. Looking at enterprise, enterprise is up about $27,000. This is driven by a couple of pieces that are moving up and down, but we had a good start at East 55th Marina for the dock rental fees. This is a timing one as well on that. When you see the dock rental fees, we know what our capacity is. We're at capacity at our marinas, so this will even out year over year. We don't have significant increases going through there. And looking at the net, this trickles right on down from the fact that we also are a little bit better on total operating expenditures by $5,000 than we were at this point last year. So overall, from an operating surplus perspective, we're $32,000 ahead of January 19. And that trickles down to $37,000 ahead on that basis after capital. Just want to highlight real fast that when we look at East 55th, this is where you can see that we're up $70,000 on the operating revenue, the dock rentals. When we look at Merwin's, we're slightly behind on the revenue side, but we're actually doing better on the operating subsidy side at this point than where we were last year. And as the season comes into full swing, we'll see those numbers improve. I just want to highlight Emerald Necklace Marina. Looks like it's off to a slow start. The only reason for that is we are working with the software vendor on some issues with the point of sales system. But Jared has confirmed with all of our folks, they are re-upping. That will be at capacity. It's just going to be a delay when we start recognizing that revenue until we get that system in place and can run those contracts through. So we're not too concerned about that one either. And when we flip over to the chalet is down a little bit from where it was at this point last year. We've had, I think, 3 days now that we've had to not run the chutes because the weather's been so warm. So we'll see what happens here as we wind out the last couple of months of the season with the chalet and if that can uptick a little bit. But as you can see, they are still in an operating surplus position. So those are the highlights for January. If there's any questions, happy to answer.
We good?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Good morning, everyone. Our very first action item is the swearing in of Lieutenant Charlie Moore. You look good, boy.
Raise your right hand, repeat after me. I, Charles A. Moore.
I, Charles A. Moore.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution and laws.
That I will support the Constitution and laws.
Of the United States of America.
Of the United States of America.
The Constitution and laws of the State of Ohio.
The Constitution and laws of the State of Ohio.
And the rules and regulations.
Cleveland Metro Parks.
Of Cleveland Metro Parks.
And I will discharge the duties.
And I will discharge the duties.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
Of the office of lieutenant.
Of the office of lieutenant.
To which I've been appointed.
To which I've been appointed.
I will faithfully carry out and implement.
I will faithfully carry out and implement.
The policies enunciated.
The policies enunciated.
And the instructions given to me.
And the instructions given to me.
By the Board of Park Commissioners.
By the Board of Park Commissioners.
Of the Cleveland Metropolitan Park District.
By the Board of Cleveland Metropolitan Park District.
Good enough. That I promise.
And I promise.
To do as I shall answer unto God.
One more time.
This I promise to do.
This I promise to do.
As I shall answer unto God.
As I shall answer unto God.
I think we need to go out and practice.
Again, congratulations to Charlie. He'll be effectively starting his new duties February 23rd. He's been with the Park District since 2006. Active lead staff, approaches and structures, field training supervisor, dive team, and the vice affiliate member. So again, congratulations to Charlie on his promotion to lieutenant. The recommended action, appointing Charles Moore to the full-time duty center for the Cleveland Metro Park falls on the top portion of page 9.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next action item is 2020 budget adjustment number one.
2020 budget adjustment number one. This is to put in place all of the restricted funds that we were not able to finalize by the end of the year. You may recall that with the original budget, we hit approximately $17 million worth of restricted funds between Tiger, Node, restricted fund back salary positions and capital projects that were known. Now, this is a balance of $5,608,957 for the remaining restricted funds. And the detail of these adjustments can be found by category on pages 50 and 51. So the recommended action is that the Board of Park Commissioners approve the budget adjustment number one for a total increase of $5,608,957.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next action item is the 2020 financial request. This comes from Charlie Russell. He is the club Metro president. He's been the club president for a number of years. This is a organization that does charge dues, $35.10 per employee, and is designed to support activities and networking between our employees. They have been audited. They do have a clean audit. It is on file. And they have a number of activities. They've already been volunteering, tree planting, summer picnics, and a number of other things. The request again is for $6,500 for the matching pledge to offset the membership and dues.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next action item is the resolution accepting Ohio Department of Natural Resources Boating Safety Education Grant. We will receive over $24,000 from the ODNR. Boating Safety Educational Grant Program to help support outdoor recreation programs. We will be using the funds to replace the fleet of kayaks, paddles, and supplemental equipment. We will be matching that with our in-kind salaries for the existing programs. The resolution accepting the funds from ODNR is on the mid portion of page 11.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next action item is Euclid Creek Preservation authorization to submit grant application for funds. This is through the Recreation Trails Program. We were successful in 2018 for the annual road connector, which we will go under construction here shortly this year. This is for the K. Hovnanian property in the city of Richmond Heights. The application will work to put in over 3,000 linear foot ADA trail access loop and an overlook deck. Recommended action for the adoption of the resolution to submit a grant to the Ohio Department of Natural Resources in the amount of $111,000. It's in the mid portion of page 12.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
There was a picture too if you were interested in. The next action item is lakefront reservation authorization to submit grant application and commit funds. This is through Ohio Department of Natural Resources Parks and Watercraft. They launched a new grant program, the Paddling Access Enhancement Grant Program. This is part of the process that the team has been working on the Lake Erie Water Trail in Cuyahoga County. It's received preliminary approval from ODNR as a state-designated water trail. This proposed project would be at East 55th to provide paddle access within both the federal break wall and additional shelter area of the East 55th Street Marina break wall. We are asking for a maximum grant request of $75,000, where the Metro Parks will put in approximately $9,000, and the resolution to approve the adoption of the resolution to submit the grant is in the mid portion of page 13.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Just as a note, this would be the first ADA compliant access point in offered along Lake Erie in Cuyahoga County. So, a very good, positive story. The next action item is Brookside Reservation, authorization to enter into a grant agreement and commit our funds. The Metro Parks received a grant award of $137,000 from the National Fish and Wildlife Sustain Our Great Lakes program to add green infrastructure elements to the parking adjacent to the Brookside Valley site in Brookside Reservation. The parking area is approximately 3.2 acres. We will look to do bioretention, actually adding 4 vegetated bioretention cells to the existing parking area. They will continue to collect over 2 million gallons worth of runoff and hopefully treat this volume of stormwater on site. The project again is through Sustain Our Great Lakes. We are asking for $137,000. Metro Parks is committing $137,000, and this is again to enter into the grant agreement that we will be doing the work here shortly.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
It's a great, great project. The next action item is an increase of the rental of the mobile trailer for the police at Timberlane Farms. A number of years ago, we moved over from our last location in Brecksville over to the stables. We then did put in 2 mobile trailer units for the staff. We've done some enhancements to it. We've exceeded the number under the original revised amount. We are also looking at options with our architects to look at a viable option to do some work there to provide some office space long term. This is something that we'll be looking at doing here in the near future. But in the interim, we need to increase the rental for the mobile trailer down at Timberlane Farms. The action item is in the middle portion of page 15.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is the award of RFP 6458-B. This is Beecher's Brook Restoration in North Chagrin and Chagrin River Restoration at Jackson Field. This is in the South Chagrin Reservation. This is for the design builder. The team spent a great deal of time. The Chagrin River is designated as a state scenic river. It's funded by the Ohio Environmental Protection Agency 319 grant. Cleveland Metro Park, the National History Museum, the Trout Club. Jackson Field Project is funded by Ohio Environmental Protection Agency 319 grant, Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District, and Cleveland Metro Parks. Sean, anything you'd like to add on this?
Very quickly, we're going through the design build process here for this project. Just to give you a reminder, it's been in front of you before, but this project is here at the south end of North Chagrin and the north end of South Chagrin. We are if you go back to the table, David, we had 8 firms provide interest in the project, and we shortlisted 4 of those. And then, if you could just go to the next table, please. Of those firms, 3 provided proposals, and we arrived at a best value for River Reach Construction with a score of nearly 100. So we're recommending that River Reach, who's working with EnviroScience, be selected as the design builder for this project. They've proposed several times on former projects. They have not been deemed best value until this project. We're really excited to work with them. They bring a lot of good history and good ideas to these projects.
That's a pretty big price swing. Is there any sense of why?
In terms of the 199 to the 303, what we saw was that in Neroni's numbers, and you'll actually see this again in the next item, they had some additional funds in there for the whole process, and the other two really didn't. So I think they aren't as busy. I'm sorry, they aren't as busy as the other ones, so they're not as hungry, if you will.
I see. Okay, thanks.
Question, recommended action. for the GMP with River Reach Construction. It ranks the best value for RFP 6458-B, falls in the top portion of page 18.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next action item is RFP 6483. This is the Brightwood Trail Park and Site Improvement Project, part of the Brookside Reservation. This is actually a project developed in partnership with the Western Reserve Land Conservancy and Old Brooklyn Development Corporation. I know Jeff is in the audience. We appreciate him coming over this morning. This is the site of the former Henninger landfill. It has been deemed to go back to the family's name. I think family's name, is that correct, Jeff?
Jeff? Family of the neighborhood.
I'm sorry?
Family of the neighborhood.
There we go. I'm glad Jeff's here. He helped clarify. But again, if we're moving into the phase to actually build the trail along, I don't know if there's a map. We can bring that up real quick. So essentially, there is the project breakdown. You can see where Pearl Road is. You can see the railroad tracks at the bottom. This has been studied many different times to actually make the connection. It will eventually work to lead ourselves over to the Ohio Erie Canal, so you can see why Brightwood is extremely important. It does then make its way to the Treadway Trail connection. We will be working with the City of Cleveland. The trail does need some improvements. We've got a section from basically the bottom part of the towpath trail where the black and orange do meet. That is not quite intuitive yet. It is signed, but we need to do a little bit more work to make that a little bit more pronounced. Also, the on-street connection through the neighborhood will be important as well. But Western Reserve and a host of others have worked very hard at securing the funds.
Can you recap again what would be a more intuitive way to go, but it's got Boku problems, which is heading downstream?
Yeah, so if we look where the I would say the white box is right below Park, following the Big Creek down was yeah, right through there. It was one of the options, but the topography was just too much. And very candidly, there's a number of operating businesses along the floor there. The railroad tracks are on the other side. There was a concept at one point in time when Councilman Simperman was here, and a host of others have talked with Bracatelli and Council President Kelly about going across and landing at a public park on the other side as another opportunity. But this was deemed as the most efficient way. Also, very connecting Treadway. I think that was the other part was if we had gone down the valley floor, we would not have connected Treadway, and this was a way to actually link through the neighborhood and the neighborhood connector.
Potential in the future, though?
I would say that one is, that's remote. The trail, it's very remote. The design, I think, would be very, very hard. There are a number of properties to acquire, and I'm just not so sure that value would be there.
Thank you.
The team did the project. They worked through the review. This is a construction manager at risk project. They deemed the best score. They went through F. Buddy Schirmer and Maroney. You can kind of see the spread between them. Again, this is for pre-construction services fees, pre-construction stage, and the contract amount, current estimated contract count will be about $535,000. Right now, the staff is recommending F. Buddy Contracting for the GMP for best value for this site improvement project at Brighton Park.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next action item is the contract amendment. This is 519. This is a rainforest dome replacement. This is a design builder. This is the GMP2. This is the work we've been doing with Regency. We are continuing to narrow down the cost, timing, steel structure, the netting, all of the different components that will actually get tied into it. So we are looking to revise this total contract at $3.2 million. Again, for the GMP for the rainforest dome replacement for Regency Construction.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next award, action item, is the award of RFP 6447. This is for Coastal Shoreline Riverfront Professional Services. This is between Heritage Park and Rivergate Boat Docks. We were able to receive a 2019 big grant, which is the boating infrastructure grant. This is through Natalie and Kristen's team, administered through the Ohio Department of Natural Resources, Division of Parks and Watercraft. We are looking to provide public marina and provide transient docks for non-trailer boats. This is a very specific program that is federally competitive. You can see the two project areas on the map up there, Heritage Park 1 and then Rivergate. We're looking at adding dockage to get people off the river in a very safe way. Part of the design project at Heritage Park 1 is also designed to be designed in concert with the City of Cleveland. Ohio Canalway Partners is the which way you look at it, the terminus or the start of the towpath. Sean, anything you'd like to add?
This is the first contract that we're bringing forward from KS for the next 5 years. We brought forward an information item to you in December where we deemed KS most qualified for the next 5 years of maritime-based design. This is the first one. We feel that the price of $124,500 is very competitive given that this is about a $2.5 million project. So we're very happy where we are percentage-wise for design costs versus future construction.
Sean, how many docks are these?
We've got six at Rivergate, and I believe it was 12 at Heritage Park.
That's a lot for a dock.
It is, but as we saw from the granting source, they saw the importance of these docks. So from a construction standpoint, especially at Heritage, these are expensive on a per slip basis, but they are very important. So that's why we're receiving 75% of the funds through the grant.
Now, what makes these so expensive?
It's just the fact that unlike East 55th Marina, where we have hundreds of docks,
yeah,
we still have to do the base infrastructure, so some bulkheading, work to actually sculpt the shoreline. That's where some notable cost is.
I see. Thank you very much.
Move
the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
The next action item is the Professional Services Agreement Amendment Number 1. This is contract 14-2, Hinkley Lake. Sean can stand back up. We'll get a little bit deeper into the service agreement with Michael Baker International. This is something the board issued a request for qualifications back in 2017.
Great. Thank you very much again, Brian. So in March of 2018, we finished our preliminary design report with Baker that looked at how to address Hinkley Dam in the future. And in doing so, we worked with Great Lakes Construction, who's our construction manager for this project. And we went through several different scenarios, and we arrived at what we think is the best fit for the dam, which is also the most economical, where we will take each earthen embankment side of the dam and raise that about 4 feet, so the lake actually has more storage. What that does in effect then is it pushes all floodwaters over the spillway here, and then we're proposing to engineer and replace the spillway so that we can meet current standards. So just to give you a quick background, if our existing earth embankment on each side looks like this, we're going to raise it 4 feet, add more fill back into the parking lot, and then on the spillway itself, we're actually going to use the existing spillway as a form, build the new spillway just to the north of it. We're going to pour a very large foundation to help some of the turnover issues that we were having in our inspections. And then we're also going to build a new control tower and valve so that we can better control maintenance of the dam and outlet of the lake. That being said, we're also in Baker's contract, which is very competitive for the work we're asking them to be done. We're looking at a dredging plan. As you can see from the sonar that we took of the lake, this southeastern section of the lake has seen siltation over the years. We're going to concentrate our dredging operations in this area of the lake so that, one, we can have a good launch from our boathouse, and also we're going to develop a forebay in here so that for the next 25 to 50 years we can catch the silt that's coming down the East Branch of the Rocky River before it makes it into the body of the lake. Baker's contract, if you could go back to the scope of work for Baker. Thank you. Baker's contract includes all the remaining due diligence that needs to be done in all of the design for the project. Great Lakes Construction will work with us through the design to price it real time and then give us a GMP. Construction-wise, we're still looking in the 2022-2023 timeframe.
But without having fully designed it, we were letting the contract, is that what I understand?
We are not letting the contract for construction per se. Great Lakes is under contract for us as construction manager at risk just to price what Baker would design so that we can make changes real time to get to the most economical design.
Recommended action falls in the top portion of page 25.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Next action item is authorization for the Cleveland Metro Parks Police Department to enter into a mutual intergovernmental cooperative / mutual aid agreement. This is a partnership with the City of Fairview Park. We have a number of mutual aid interagency agreements. This is just a continued formalization of our partnership with Fairview Park. Recommended action falls in the mid portion of page 25.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
The next action item is authorization of land acquisition. This is the Gallen property. This is in Sauk Rapids Reservation. This is approximately 5 acres. Our team has worked diligently. You can see the piece of property coming up. It's a little bit, there it is. We most recently picked up the property just to the due north, known as the Jackson property. This was a piece of property that became available and actually provides us another unique access point along Chagrin River Road. We were able to secure a price, and it again continues to buffer the wetland complex and connects to the Jackson property. Recommended action to purchase the Gallen property falls on the top portion of page 26.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
The next action item is the Asian Lantern Festival Agreement. This is at the Cleveland Metro Park Zoo. The staff is recommending to enter into a new agreement for a 3-year run of the Asian Lantern Festival. It's been highly successful. In its first year, it set domestic and international attendance records. And this past year, it had over 183,000 guests. It is a ticketed event. It has been very successful. Tinyanu has been, they have proven themselves. They have designed really unique and high quality festival items. And we are working to make sure that we've got the solid revenue split between the Metro Parks and Tinyanu.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
The next are the tabulation of award and bids. We have the renewal of information technology consulting services, grass seed fertilizers and fungicides, and other turf supplies, chalet parking lot improvements. We will be taking out and adding green infrastructure to the chalet parking lot in between the seasons of the tobogganing and go ape, marine fuel, hand scoop ice cream, live fish, stocking rainbow trout, new trucks under the co-op of 6498, and purchase and installation of flooring for the management center at Ohio and Erie Canal.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Vouchers and payroll.
The following vouchers have been reviewed as to legality of expenditure and conforming with the Ohio Revised Code, totaling $8,866,473.59. Recommended action is that the Board of Park Commissioners approves resolution number 20-02-018 as listed above.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And additionally, the following vouchers have been reviewed as to legality of expenditure and conforming with Ohio Revised Code for a total amount of $280 with Arbor River specifically, and the recommended action is that the Board of Park Commissioners approves resolution number 20-02-019 as listed above.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Abstentions? Dan Moore.
Thank you. Public comment. Yes.
Good morning. Last July, the proposed 2020 budget was presented and approved, showing a major decrease in operations costs, to $23 million for 2020, a drop of over 15% or $4 million. Commissioners approved those figures to be transmitted to the county. When I questioned this, pointing out how unusual a decrease would be, my concerns were deflected and dismissed. Now, 6 months later, we have a budget adjustment raising those same operations up to $29 million, more than $6 million above what was claimed in July. Quite a change. Obviously, budgets are plans which may need revision, but it appears my observations were correct, that those expenses would continue, as usual, to increase. One wonders why they were underestimated at all. It is hard to have confidence in numbers which vacillate so gracefully. With each of these budget adjustments, we are assured that the money will come from someplace. Of course it has to. From increased revenues or restricted funds or somewhere. In the interest of allowing the public to track our tax dollars, perhaps some of today's $150,000 for outside IT consulting can be used to fix the invoice entries inputs so they can, once again, be word search. I first noted last September that this was no longer possible, in spite of the fact that Munis touts searchable invoices as one of the advantages of their system. 2 months later, we worked again for 1 month, November. But that was the only time in the last 6 months to allow invoice searches. So much time, money, and technology has been invested that you should not be losing basic functions your software claims to provide. I was told just yesterday that some update is to blame. Apparently, Tyler has not yet been contacted to find a solution. 6 months is surely enough time to resolve this, particularly given my repeated inquiries. Lastly, preliminary design report and construction cost estimate for the Hinkley Dam were completed 2 years ago, based on an agreement approved 7 months before that. Finally, there is a preferred design. Already spent is $250,000 in 2017, another $250,000 today, with an additional $250,000 for future construction admin. So at last, closing in on design completion a year from now, with more pauses scheduled along the way. Construction cost estimate has not been provided. Doubtless, everything has become much more expensive over time. And if something should fail before this project is completed, the foot dragging will be obvious to all. Public safety in the face of frequent catastrophic weather events should surely take priority over rental boat docks and parking lots. Another question is whether Metro Parks will honor their mantra of remaining debt-free through this project. Many new projects are being approved today that will also require funds and supervision. Will they, like Bonnie Park, get a fancy sign and then languish? Start less, finish sooner, and then move on. Overreach without completion does not engender confidence. Thank you.
Why don't we take the other comments and then we can respond. Yes.
Norm from Major Hoopels, located in the flats on Franklin Columbus, neighbor to the Red Line Greenway. Still issues with your Franklin connector. Construction has started on your project next to my property, and you have graded the hillside to stabilize it, and that has created a large surface area with pitch towards my property, which I, for the record, I have concern that if there's heavy rain or steady rain, that this water is going to flow down and cause issues to me in the future. So I would like you to address that, please. And also, the Franklin Connector is going to start construction in mid-March. And I'm against the Franklin Connector. And I think with it starting in mid-March with St. Patrick's Day and the home opener, heavy traffic days, this will show that this will be a dangerous intersection that you guys are proposing and causing. And I'd just like to say, over the year that I've been coming here, I've given you many examples of why the Franklin Connector is not a good option to do, rather than Greenway M4. But in this area, something that you guys hold valuable is your reputation, and it has taken some criticism from the Red Line Greenway not being as green as it was proposed, to even last week at our public block club meeting with your representatives, people that are for the Metro Parks were asking if they could truly trust you to do this project the right way. And then last year you had the incident with the 24-hour eviction notice that you gave to the homeless on Riverbed Road and then enforced it, and now you're going to have this Franklin Connector sitting here being completed and not serving any purpose for the first year because the rest of the path won't be done. And then after that part, RTA Bridge, which I mentioned last time, is having concrete issues. They're decking, they're hiring a contractor to replace that whole decking, so I would imagine they will have you close that end of the pathway for safety and insurance reasons. And then after those couple of years, your Centennial Trail was built on unstable ground where the city's going to have to put in bulkheads, so that's going to close that section of your trail for a couple of years. So you're looking at this Franklin connector that for the first decade will serve minimal use except to cause a dangerous intersection, financial hardship to a family business that's been there for almost 40 years now, and just have people wondering if the Metro Parks, when they get into our neighborhoods, really do know what they're doing. So for the benefit of all of us, can you reconsider the Franklin connector to the bigger plan that you have in the future and do it right for all of us? Thank you.
That's a horseshoe nail in half. Anyone else? Who would like to respond?
I mean, Norm, our team has worked with you the entire time. And your statements are your opinion, is what I can say. And you cannot represent the city. You cannot represent what they're going to do or what they're not going to do. And you can't say that the trail's going to be open or closed for 2 years, because that's not a factual statement. We don't even have any of the plans. Number two, the Red Line Greenway does connect to the Cleveland Foundation Centennial Trail right there, and then does feed back to 100 plus miles worth of trail. So it does actually connect exactly the way we were working on it. The partnerships to repair and take care of the whole Irishtown Bend is going to take time. There's lots of agencies doing lots of work there, and there's a lot of really good things happening. And when you're talking about homelessness, you didn't even understand what really actually happened down there, and you don't have all the facts. And so we were taking into account the safety of all of the people. Our safety forces were down there every single day. Someone threatened them, and so we made a very solid choice based on the safety of the people that were there. So I do take offense to some of those statements. And again, your opinions are your opinion, and we will respect that. But the facts that we're doing, we've met with all the neighbors, we've met with the block clubs, and we are committed to building this trail. And certainly people have their right to their opinion.
Sean, would you care to comment on Hinkley Dam?
On Hinkley Dam, absolutely. Hinkley Dam is one of our most important pieces of infrastructure, as we know. And it takes us time to do these things right, and to go through the engineering process, to go through the permitting process with ODNR. That process alone takes many months. The construction cost estimates are in the report. It's about a $6 million or so cost for the dam work. That hasn't been hidden anywhere. It is in plain sight. So we have to plan it correctly. That's what we're doing. We're being diligent, and it will take some time, but we're doing it right.
And just a correction with Ms. Lesher's statements on the granting source for the Bonnie Park Dam. That did take us a bit of time based on a number of factors that were out of our control, based on the available funds, based on available projects, and the work that our team had to do to continue to secure that. It was the highest rated project in the state of Ohio. However, a number of institutions didn't let the project as they planned, so the loan funds were not there to complete that project. Our team did a very diligent job, Ms. Lesher, to actually secure the funds to make sure the project could actually happen. So if you want to state or you have questions, we're happy to answer those based on the facts.
Eunice,
so we have been, and Dave has been working on the word searchability item on his invoices. We've been working through a number of things with Eunice. I think we have 6 tickets with them right now. It's a capability that we know is out there that we haven't been able to make work for the time being. It's a word search. All the information is available there. It's a mechanism that may make looking for an item or a term a little bit easier. But it's not that there's no information available or that these things can't be found. There's just a lot of documents to go through without the word search feature. The item on the tax budget, we actually have addressed this one in the past. I'll shortly mention it again. The tax budget, which is being referred to as the July budget, is what's recruited to the county. It's the original baseline budget. It's not comparable with our overall budget and includes encumbrances and carryovers. And the comment that we are increasing our budget based on restricted funds and grants and other funds and additional revenues is absolutely true. If you look at where we see increases, those are funded increases. We're not pulling from cash reserves. And as a matter of fact, our cash position was even slightly better at the end of 2019 than we budgeted it to be. So we are being very diligent and responsible when we show increases of appropriations, when we do budget adjustments, that there are sources of capital and other people's money or increases in revenue that are offsetting those. Our baseline budget has been kept within 2.5 to 3% year over year, which is no different than cost of living adjustment for many of the costs that we don't even have control over, such as the price of salt or utilities that go up indiscriminately at times. We saw the price of salt go up significantly 2 years in a row. This past year it went up 10%. The year before that it went up, I recall, something like 30 or 40%. It was a huge increase that we have no control over. We've adapted to those costs going up, and we've still kept our overall baseline operating budget within a less than 3% incremental increase year over year on the baseline piece. So it's just a matter of clarity around what exactly we're comparing, whether it's the tax budget that we're giving to the county or our annual budget that we submit to you, and then we deal with our respective budget adjustments each month for additional resources that are available that we deploy back into the park district and its amenities.
Thank you.
Information?
We have three items. Our very first is an employee guest. David is with our customer and banking services, also helps facilitate our board meetings. Anthony?
I'm Drew Dave Calco. Besides being the board meeting guy in the corner, he is in charge of our customer services department, so he manages the customer services staff, the help desk, over 1,100 devices and 160 different software applications.
How many?
1,100 devices. 1,100 devices and about 160 different software applications. So he manages all that. So anytime somebody calls him, he has to be a manager.
Any words? Sure. I prepared written comments, but after looking through the first three or four pages of them, Anthony's like, you don't need to say all that. He knows that already. It was mostly me just saying what a great boss he is. So my final paragraph, though, it's really a privilege to apply my skills and experience to an organization where the mission and vision really agrees with my own. And so thanks for that opportunity. And even on a day-to-day basis, coming in here to such a beautiful environment and working with such a really cool team on interesting projects, really happy to be here. So thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thanks. By the way,
our next info item is Cleveland Harbor Eastern Endangered Resilience Study, otherwise known as CHEERS. But thankfully, Kelly is coming up to explain what this is.
Thinking about the study, that was actually my first effort to boil it down to something we could pronounce. And who doesn't like CHEERS, right?
So that was the first word I thought of.
So it worked out. Thanks for having us today. So this project is pretty exciting because we just talked about this yesterday, but this continues to build on the 2004 vision for the entire waterfront here in Cleveland. The yellow dash is our study area. So we are looking at an area along Lake Erie that ranges from the eastern edge of Burke Lakefront Airport and travels east to encompass the Cleveland Lakefront Nature Preserve. The study area extends out into the lake just past the federal break wall. And then the main focus is really back to approximately I-90, but then we do want to look just beyond St. Clair Avenue so that we're sure that we're getting community connections and thinking of a framework for how to better leverage this amazing, lakefront asset that we all have. What we're really looking at is a way to improve habitat, both aquatic and terrestrial, to protect existing infrastructure and to expand recreational opportunities. And so with that thought in mind, and actually a lot of potential actions that came out of last year's reservation master planning, we were able to engage five partners. So we're partners with the City of Cleveland, the Ohio Department of Natural Resources, the Ohio Department of Transportation, and the Port of Cleveland to put this grant application together. And one of the other big components was looking at, are there ways that we can think of a beneficial use of dredge material to achieve those three main project goals. And so I'm excited to report that we were successful in obtaining a grant from the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, and the total amount for the study is $251,000, which we're able to leverage with just input from ourselves of $25,200. So the, you know, the local match is shared equally with those five partners, and we're going to be embarking on this study shortly. So the project area is about 2 miles across the lakefront and about a mile if we do go, you know, all the way into St. Clair Avenue. And this is just a fun, you know, this is a calm day on Lake Erie in February. So we can see the action that's at play and how that hardened edge doesn't really allow a lot of other opportunities. So excited to see what other options there are. The study is going to look to some guidance from the Army Corps of Engineers as far as how they define resilience and think about major events like Superstorm Sandy that we all experienced and saw what that did to the lakeshore. So, just quickly, the goals for the project that we stated in our grant application, again, hitting those 3 points, physical, ecological, social resilience, and making this more than just a study. We want this plan to be implemented. So getting to 50% design, so we can really dig into some of the technical aspects of what it would take to make those improvements. As far as project approach, Cleveland Metro Parks is providing a lot of project management and coordinating with the partners. Equity and community outreach is a huge goal of the project and involving a lot of our kind of partner agencies beyond the five partners and community members. We do have a project webpage set up with the help of our IT department. So if we go to Cleveland Metro Parks, actually it's clevelandmetroparks.com/cheers. We have a lot of previous studies for the project area that are available to the public. We're in the midst of receiving qualifications from consultant teams. Those are due next Friday. A pretty robust kind of list of skills that we're looking for, so it'll be exciting to see how those come back. We'll be bringing those proposed contracts to the board in April. We'll probably be bringing the grant agreement actually next month because we've finally gotten the paperwork from NIFWIF. But we're really excited to just embark on the study and show what some of the potential might be. These are kind of some inspirational images from other coastal resilience projects. A lot of those happen along the east and west coast of the U.S. We're kind of unusual to be here in the Great Lakes doing that. But these were funded through, you know, similar programs as to what we'd be looking for funding for. So you see the habitat improvements, but you also see the people out enjoying those environments. So we're really excited to explore what potential there might be to see this along the Lake Erie waterfront. So any questions?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
What are some of the concepts that people have been talking about, people you've been dealing with? You don't have much height between the high water level and the freeway. Mm-hmm. You don't have hardly any distance. So you'd have to fill, and so you'd have to extend out in the lake quite a bit, probably, right?
And we're really going to be looking to kind of our expert consultant team for some of those recommendations, but we've talked just in general about potentially placing dredge along those existing break walls out into the lake to buffer some of that wave action. Maybe we can demonstrate a need to expand the federal break wall out in the water to, as a first line of defense from that wave action. Maybe there's an offshore kind of a living break wall, barrier island. I think we're going to just kind of cast a really wide net of potential options and then try to weigh the cost benefit to, you know, be pretty creative with what those solutions might be.
Do we advertise nationally? Do you expect getting consultants from across the country?
We had 200 consultants download the, which it might be, I don't want to go through 200 proposals, but we're excited. There is national interest, and we did look to some firms that had experience with some of those coastal resilience projects. So they've been through the process, and they see what, you know, what's required.
The problem I see in this is you're gonna, it's a very challenging.
Gotta build out of the lake.
Yeah, you gotta build out of the lake. I guess we can do that, and it would certainly create park areas. The problem is you just don't have much height.
Mm-hmm.
The freeway is what would you say, 6 or 7 feet off the high water?
I don't even know if it's that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the picture you showed, it was probably 15 feet, mm-hmm. and that's a huge difference. And there's a big fetch, you know.
The only intake bridge.
Well, and I think that too points to the interest of our partners. So we will have ODOT at the table, the Department of Natural Resources. And so I think that made our grant application really competitive, that we are already realizing we need to coordinate with a lot of folks.
But how will you, I guess the question I have is how will the institutions you've got on the board there mm-hmm. be able to even appraise these things? I mean, some of them will be Buck Rogers. And some of them will be, you know, just built out in the lake. I mean, it'll be very complicated to try to unsort the crazy stuff from the conservative mm-hmm. stuff.
I agree, and I think we actually go through kind of a smaller scale, but similar sorting process with a lot of our projects here at Cleveland Metro Park. So I think we're equipped to handle that, and that's also where some of the you know, bringing in stakeholders and hearing different voices will help us get to what the community wants to see and what there's really support for more broadly. So I'm confident we can do it.
Is it too soon to speculate that some plans maybe will qualify for other kind of funding because they're more ambitious, and then you can start doing a trade-off between do we build here or do we make an adjustment here? Mm-hmm.
That's really one of our goals. You know, again, that we want to explore all these ideas, but at the end, we want to come to a plan that we can implement. And you know, the port has a need to figure out a dredge disposal plan. And so, I think there will be some kind of built-in momentum to proceed with some of these ideas. And again, I don't think it's a project. You know, I may not see the project constructed. You know, it's going to take a while. But if you look at how our lakefront has changed over the last 50 years, there's no reason to think that in another 50 years it could look drastically different from the way it does today.
Having ODOT on board is critical. Mm-hmm.
Does it make sense to also have the Army Corps involved early? Just from, I don't even know what their local presence is these days or how engaged.
I think they'll be a key stakeholder so that we're having that conversation that we don't show them something that they would never permit.
Right.
And ODNR has a lot to do with submerged land leases too, which are critical.
Yeah.
So I think we'll be able to work
pieces
through and troubleshoot as we go.
One other question. Uh-huh. You have the eastern edge of the airport, not the airport per se, but the area of fill is not being used for aircraft operations. Mm-hmm. Why wasn't that in the study as well? You've got a little section of it. Why not have more of that in the study?
We really worked to find a study area that was palatable to all five partners, and I think there could be some findings from this study that could maybe help inform other operations with the current confined disposal facility at the airport. And we do have the City of Cleveland and their Department of Port Control.
And they were reluctant to extend it in West.
Yeah, and it's not to say that couldn't happen at another time,
yeah.
but just for this, you know, we found common ground and we're running with it. It's kind of okay. Thank you.
The next information item is in the Rocky River Reservation. This is the access study, Old Lorraine Road vicinity.
Good morning, commissioners. Bring us home with this one. We found through our reservation planning process and also our strategic goals that connections are so important. So we have here an opportunity to study one of these areas that we have continued to get comments on regarding the desire of the neighborhoods here to connect. So to give you some reference, we're in Rocky River Reservation. This is Lorraine Road here. To look at our walk and bike shed, this gives you an idea of the green represents what is bikeable within a 15-minute bike ride. That orangish tan color represents what is walkable in that same amount of time. So here's one of the interesting things. You can see access points to the park, but you can also see how this area is rather small because it's hard to get a lot of folks in the neighborhood down into the park. And the reason is somewhat topographical and historical. One of the things that we wanted to be able to do here was also understand what are the current conditions in terms of safety. What we found was that, unfortunately, this area of Lorraine Road here, Fairview Hospital sits right here, is ranked by NOAACA as the eighth most dangerous, if you will, segment for bike and pedestrian activity in this area along Lorraine Road. So with this, we have been talking with the City of Cleveland. We understand that Fairview Hospital is going through a master planning process. We have gone through our own master planning process that looked at ways to better connect from Old Lorraine Road. We actually, what's old is new again, right? Kelly pulled up plans that Olmsted Jr. did in 1915 and 16. When they were analyzing Rocky River Reservation for Stinchcomb and for the Metro Parks, and they saw that this area in particular that corresponds to these notes, they were trying to find ways down into the valley in these gullies. So this is not a new issue. We're still working through it, but...
So you're saying it takes time?
It does take some time, yes. It does take some time.
Phrase of the day.
Yes. So... With that, the City of Cleveland is looking to, this is a topo here, so here's Fairview Hospital. You can see not only how tight this gully is that Old Lorraine Road occupies, but just how built up the neighborhood has become. Cam's Corner is doing very well, the hospital's doing well, they do have some plans in the works for expansion. But with that, we have been approached by the City of Cleveland, who's willing to provide $50,000 to us to go through this this connection access study. West Park and Cam's Corners are great partners. We look to start a study in March of 2020, be done by the end of summer. The great thing is this study will also complement all the work going on north of Lorraine Road, where we are a partner with the county in NOAACA in a TLCI funded, so Transportation for Livable Communities Initiative funding, community confluence study, which is looking at replacement of the Detroit Bridge and how to bring bike and ped improvements, replacement of the Hilliard Bridge and how to bring bike and ped improvements, and also Lorraine, now Old Lorraine Road. So there's some great studies going on concurrently as to how to get people to up and from the neighborhoods and down to the valley floor. So we're looking to bring a contract forward soon.
Very good. Thank you, Sean.
Great. Thank you.
That was the last information briefing and policy item. There's no old business. The next regularly scheduled meeting is Wednesday, March 18th.
And we can get a motion to go to the session of the
Board of Bruce Raker?
Yes.
Debbie Barry?
Yes.
Dan?
I will discharge the duties.
A motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And this, to let you know, is...